The views and opinions of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Of course, this is not Aaron Green's voice. This is C.A. Nuri, and I'm holding on for Aaron Green for the week. It's raining outside. Not necessarily cats and dogs, but it's drenched. The earth is wet. So when it rains like this, what should you expect? Lights to turn off any minute now. Yeah, so if we turn off, I'm hopefully going to continue to talk, make sure that continues. But just brace yourself. Today, I am privileged to talk to a PhD doctor. I think PhD means doctor, right? Doctor PhD, but a PhD doctor. We're going to be talking about activism, Africa, celebrating the, let me go to my notes. Let me go to the notes. This is what happens when you did not read the notes before. The UNESCO is celebrating the slave trade memory commemoration of, August 23rd. That's like 2 days from now. It was first celebrated in a number of countries, in particular Haiti, August 23rd, 1998. That's where they started. I'm going to just let Dr. Nyambi Campbell-Dean explain everything to me, right? She's on Zoom. I know she's feeling a little bit under the weather, but she's graced me to join me via Zoom. I'm going to make sure that she's connected. So, Dr. Campbell-Dean, are you there?
Good morning, CA. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
How are you feeling, by the way?
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. You know, that the ancestors are helping me push through to commemorate this most important of these. So I'm grateful.
Good. And I'm glad that you committed to join me today. I know that you were feeling under the weather, and thank you very much. There's a big celebration happening on the weekend. I was stumbling over it just now, and I said, let me stop one time and just speak to you directly that you can explain to me. Something big is happening over the weekend, something that you tend to push and herald as part of who you are and a part of the movement. And I'm trying to understand that movement and have a conversation about reparations later on. So let me start by having you explain what's happening on the weekend.
Well, actually, today, August 23rd, is the United Nations International Day for the Remembrance of the Slave Trade, the Transatlantic Slave Trade, and its abolition. And so we, as members of the Bahamas National Reparations Committee, just want to take some time to acknowledge this day and share information about the importance of remembering the transatlantic slave trade and its abolition, and really just get some information out there about what this day is and what it means, or what it means for us as Bahamians.
So this is 1807 when the slave trade ended. And there would be people who said, but why is there a need to commemorate this, right? This is not as big as the ending of slavery, first of all. And do we need to continue to bring this to the fore? Man, slavery over, man. Why y'all keep on mentioning it?
Right. Well, the reason that we think that this is important, and I also want to, before I go further, is to also introduce some other members of the Bahamas National Reparations Committee. You know, I said the last time I was on Guardian that I was going to bring some other people with me, so that I didn't think that this movement was just a Dr. Nyambi movement, right?
At times, it does seem like it's only you. So I'm glad to see there are other people involved. Yes, let's introduce them to me so I can know who they are.
Yes. So on the call right now, we have one of our newest members, one of our youth members, Dylan Miles, and I'll just let Dylan introduce himself.
Hello, can everybody hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead, Dylan.
True story. Yes, I'm a new member of the Reparations Committee, although I have been supporting it since I was in University of the Bahamas. I'm a recent psychology Bachelor of Arts graduate. But while I was taking psychology classes at UB, I would say that's when I became pretty politically socialized to support the reparations movement. I am a pretty passionate supporter, so if you think that Dr. Campbell's the only one on board with this, you'd be wrong.
Dylan, I'm coming back to you, because I want to know why a young person care about slavery but over a long time ago. Something is wrong.
Yes, sir.
No problem. We're coming back to you. Anyone else there, Ms. Campbell? Dr. Campbell Dean?
Yeah, we are going to be joined by another one of our members. And so when she comes on, I'll introduce her as well.
Good. So back to my initial question. Slavery over. Slave trade over. Why you keep on bringing it up?
So the reason that we keep talking about this issue is because history has consequences. Right? History has consequences. No one ends up in the moment that they are simply by happenstance, right? There are certain events and things that preceded that bring us to this present moment. And that includes the joys, the highlights, the benefits of being Bahamian in 2024. But it also includes a lot of the challenges that we are experiencing. You know, when we think about our high mortality rate due to violence and non-communicable diseases. I know the IDB did a study, I think that was a few years ago, and it found that 50% of mortality in the Bahamas is due to non-communicable diseases and violence, right? And so with that high rate, we have to really look at our society, not just from what is happening now, but what are the systemic and historical challenges that have brought us to this moment?
You trying to say slavery caused that, doctor?
I'm saying that history has consequences. Right. And so slavery was one of the elements of our history. It's not the only thing. Right. It's not the only thing that happened, but it's one of the elements. And so we want to recognize these different elements so that we can see how the past has impacted our future or impacted our present so that we can change our future.
Good. Let me ask Dylan. Dylan, you're young. You're young, you're vibrant, you're educated.
Oh, Lord, Dylan on the show.
Right? I want to understand, why would you join this movement? See, I can understand Dr. Campbell Dean because she's an academic. She's an academic. This is a part of who she is. I appreciate her. But you're a young, passionate Bahamian who have your entire life ahead of you. Why would you join this movement? In terms of reparation, there's a need for reparation. Who owe you money?
Right. Well, let me start by saying it's my first time. I've always wanted to be on the radio. It's my first time, so I'm actually kind of nervous. But I'll just get right into it. I agree with Dr. Campbell, of course, in many ways. But I actually have I feel a different way about it. I would argue that slavery. And, you know, I'm kind of radical, so I'll just get right into it. I feel like slavery hasn't entirely ended, really. I feel like it's kind of changed its shape in many ways. It's not as overt as it was before. Like, when we think about slavery, we will think about, you know, the ships and the masses of people being dumped on, you know, onto our islands in the Caribbean, right? I feel like how it's manifest today is... you know, it's different, but it's much of the same. A lot of freedoms, like basic freedoms, are not there for people today. And much of like, I mean, Dr. Campbell kind of hit the point too, that like, you know, the health conditions, you know, the, what is it? Well, you know, like the after effects of, you know, the slave trade, which affected like a lot of like everyone, like everything changed after that point. So like the lingering like effects of that, such as health conditions, I feel does mean we don't have like the autonomy that we need. And because it's a result of that slave trade and it still lasts today, to this day, like we have the highest rate of diabetes and whatnot, right? Then that, I feel like that does call for reparations. And, you know, and as a Caribbean, I've come into this world with like health conditions that honestly I could attribute to like that lineage. And I would say as a, you know, quote unquote passionate young man, that's why I would, support the reparations movement.
Okay, I can appreciate that. Let's go back to Dr. Campbell Dean. Reparations. What is it that you want? Do you want money? You want millions of dollars that give every black Bahamian, because I'm not going to include the Conky Joe people. You're going to give all the black Bahamians money. Is that what you are seeking? What is it that this Bahamas Reparation Committee, and by extension, the Caribbean Reparation Committee, what is their goal and objective asking for reparation? And exactly who are you asking reparation of or from?
Sure, I'll definitely get to that. I would, however, like to highlight one of the points that Dylan has made, which I think is really important, in that Dylan is talking about slavery and that slavery hasn't necessarily ended, but it's kind of changed its form. And that when we are talking about the International Day for the Remembrance of Slavery and its abolition, that we are specifically talking about the transatlantic chattel slavery, right? Because one of the things that happens when we have these conversations is that people kind of get lost in, oh, well, black people weren't the only people that were slaves, right? But the transatlantic chattel slave trade was a very unique and particular type of slavery, one that did not exist prior and hasn't really existed since, right? In which people were actually tried to turn people into chattel, right? Into property. And there was no system in which you could be, because your mother was a slave, you were automatically a slave. So these are some of the things that we want to try and highlight in this day, because we think that this information helps us to understand the movement a little better and helps us to understand when we call for reparations, what we're calling for. I also wanted to give some space to introduce our other member, our newly appointed advisory member to the committee, Ms. Gaynell Curry, who is joined us on the call. And good morning, Gaynell. Could you just introduce yourself to us, please?
Hello. Yes, good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Nambi. And hello to everyone. Hello, Bahamas. It's good to be here. I'm Gaynell Curry, and I'm recently became an advisory member, as Nambi said, of the National Reparations Committee. I serve as the CARICOM and Bahamas representative on the forum, the International Forum or the UN Forum on People of African Descent. So we at the forum look at the human rights, how do we advance and promote and protect or encourage the protection of the human rights and promote the lives and livelihoods of people of African descent. And this day is very important to us as an international community. I serve on that panel with 9 other experts from around the world, 1 other from the Caribbean, Dr. Suma, she's from St. Lucia. And a dynamic person, really. All of us sit on this committee and we meet regularly to discuss what can we as a global community do to ensure that we never forget, that we never forget. It seems a long way away. And I was sort of listening in before I had a chance to jump on the call. And I know the question was asked, why? This was a long time ago. Why do we need to still be speaking about it? I always remind myself that in 1833, Britain took out or used 40% of its national debt to pay the planters, right? Or our colonial masters, if you will. And they paid the families of those colonial masters until modern day. Actually, the final payment was made in 2015. That was yesterday. Nobody said to those families, and those families certainly didn't say, oh, this happened too long ago. We should not be still gaining from slavery. The 40% of the national debt of the UK budget of the UK that they used to pay those colonialists, none of that went to the persons that were enslaved. None of it. So we got essentially nothing but freedom. So we're saying in 2024 that we need to continue to have a conversation. We need to continue to have a conversation about the injustice. Justice, we can't say that justice died when, you know, slavery ended, or we shouldn't talk about that anymore. Because reparations isn't new, as I'm sure Nambi has said millions of times. Various groups have received reparations over the years. It's about the injustice, it's about the accountability for what you do to groups of persons. And we, as persons or descendants, primarily of the slave trade in this region, and not only in this region, in the Americas as well, we cannot allow it to be forgotten. We must continue to speak about it. And that's why days like this are important for us in the United Nations. And it is important for us in the region, the CARICOM level, to continue speaking about it. And it's important for us at this national level to not let it go aside, to not let our young people forget that this happened. This was real. This was the reality of our ancestors. So that is why we speak about it.
Ms. Correa, I'll interject here and ask you the question like what I asked Dr. Campbell Dean. What is it that you want? Do you want money? What is it that you're asking, and who are you seeking reparations from?
Thank you for that question. I believe, first of all, who should pay? Those who perpetrated the slavery and the perpetuation of systemic racism, who set that motion in place. They perpetuated it. So we're talking about our former colonial masters, not only the UK, we have several other European countries that were involved in this process. So let's not forget that. So we're talking about all of them. We're talking about those who gained from it. So institutions that gained from it. I'm talking about churches. I'm talking about the Church of England, the Catholic Church, and every other religious community that benefited from it. We're talking universities that actually gained, got money to establish their institutions, to strengthen their own institutions, to educate their people. All of them got the gains from the slave trade and colonialism. And those are the people we need to be thinking about primarily in terms of who should pay. And then I will add, what do we want? CARICOM has laid out what it wants in its 10-point plan. And I think we can start there. We can start. We're not asking them to go into their treasury and give us 40% of their income. We're not asking that. But we're saying, let me be clear, though. Let me be clear that I am not saying that we don't want any money. I'm always happy for money, to get some money. We need some money on these sides of the this side of the world to go into our coffers, right? So I'm not going to say no to money. But what CARICOM is speaking about is several different issues, starting with an apology, a recognition that this thing happened and you damaged us, right? You're not even prepared to give that an apology, a proper apology. Then we're talking about putting systems in place to support what you didn't leave in place. For example, education. For example, we can say that, right? You haven't. When they left, we had very few schools in this country. We built those ourselves. We educated ourselves. We built our own healthcare system. We did it. And if we got help, it wasn't really help. It was through loans and some grants that may have come from international donors, right? But the reality is we had to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. And what we're saying in the CARICOM Reparations Fund, and I encourage the Bahamas to Google it and see what we're asking for. It's really a lot of development initiatives we're asking. How can you help us? because you took something from us. How can you now help us? So it's not going to be boiled down to dollars and cents necessarily, although, and Ambi may be able to give you more on this, the Brethel report that just came out, they actually quantified what is owed to us, our people in this region, right? But I want to stick with CARICOM, CARICOM's 10-point plan, because that has been agreed by the leaders of this region that this is what they are seeking. Now, I know they're in a moment trying to see how we can, you know, modify that, update that, because it's I think, at least 10 years old, no? And so we need to think about what can we be looking at now and what ought we be looking at? Do those things remain the same? But it's a wide cross-section of things. It looks at primarily how do we link this to the development process. Don't replace it, because we're not talking about development assistance or development aid, but we're talking about how can this go alongside and support the development of this region. That's what we're talking about. As I said, an amount has been set out, and that purport was commissioned by CARICOM and UWI, but let's just start with what we have already agreed, because that report hasn't yet been agreed, although I know that CARICOM heads have been briefed on it or it has been shared with them. But the reality is we have agreed as CARICOM to accept the 10-point plan for reparations. And I will add that we in the United Nations have taken on those 10 points, the CARICOM 10-point plan, to incorporate that into what it is we're doing and to see what else other regions are doing, because I know in the United States, in various states, they are looking at what should reparations look like. I know that in Latin America, they're also doing exactly the same thing, looking at what that ought to look like. And so it's not something that we can say everybody get $20,000 or something like this. It's not that naive, I think. I'm going to call it naive because it really isn't realistic to expect that. But I think we can realistically expect some support or some, how do you put it, some payment into what is already existing. We can start with universities across the region. You know, just think about that. And CARICOM has left that significantly broad for countries themselves, and for an example, through our National Reparations Committee, to think about what we prioritize from this 10-point.
I have a link clip I want you to listen to. I think I have Dylan respond to that. Kermit, get that clip ready to play so they can listen to it. There are a number of Black Bahamians, and since we're talking about the Bahamas particularly, who are saying they don't want anything. They don't believe they deserve reparations. They don't see why you are asking for assistance. They done straight, right? Mm-hmm. And what would you say to people like that who say they done straight? And then I have already got three inboxes from white and conky Joe Bahamians who say, man, why y'all keep on bringing this up? I'm reading it right now. No, I'm watching their profile. Mm-hmm. They say, why y'all keep on bringing this up? Y'all causing racial divide amongst us. And I want to know, what would be your response to people you're making feel uncomfortable by talking about the past? Kermit, you have that tape, that clip yet? We can play it right now, and then you can listen. You can respond to all that what I said just now.
Can't wait.
In 1 minute for me.
Yeah, I have a lot to say.
When it comes to reparations, do you believe in it or not?
I honestly don't. Because if you go look back through history, right, Black people weren't the only ones that were slaves. It wasn't only one group of people that was doing it. I do recall, okay, just going through the history books, brown people, Black people, owned Black people. I mean, if we want to talk about the root of the problem, a lot of it has to do with our own community. Like, let's call a spade, man. I can't do nothing about changing time. My reparations is honoring my ancestors and the hard work they instilled in me, and I'm very grateful for them. So, you know, I don't want to sit here and try to piggyback off of their trials and you know, things that happened to them in their past. You know, they would turn around and say, hey, leave that at the door, go out and make us proud. And that's why I do what I do, man.
When it comes to reparations.
Okay, start with Dylan. I want the whole panel response to that briefly. What do you think about that? People never say they straight. They don't need no reparations, man. And that what you doing now, that's for your ego. That is not necessary for us.
Starting with me?
Yeah, go ahead, Dylan. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I have a lot to say, but I'll try to keep it short. First of all, when the man or whoever in the video says, you know, that black people weren't the only ones enslaved, other people were enslaved and whatnot, I have to say two wrongs don't make a right to that. Moving on, as to the, you know, the idea that, you know, we're straight or whatever and that we don't need reparations. I heard about this movement while I was a psychology student, right? Like, I was taking psychology classes. So obviously mental health is a pretty big concern. And honestly, when I hear Bahamians say that, like, we don't need reparations, kind of can't help but think that there's like a self-esteem issue going on. I'm feeling like these are people who are saying that they don't deserve better. And we're saying that they do. We're saying, like, the reparations plan, as I studied in school, isn't something that someone just made up or pulled out of nowhere. It's an agreed upon, well, like the good Curry said here, it's a plan that's been agreed upon by different people. So because there's some worth in recognizing that it would help the Bahamian people as well as other Bahamian peoples. So I feel like, frankly, that more people need to realize that that calling for reparations is an opportunity to, like, to better themselves, but to also recognize their worth by realizing historically what the damages that have been done, and why they should be compensated. I see why people, like, honestly, I get why people are like, you know, oh, we don't need reparations, and why people, you know, are, I guess, adamant about that, to be honest. Right? Because we're all about being individuals. We're all about, like, you know, we don't want to seem like we need free, if we need, like, free blank checks or anything like that. But that's just not, like, what I think is happening here at all. I think what's happening here is that, yeah, harm was done. And I would say harms are still being done. You know, like, you still see the vestiges of colonialism all the time today. I mean, look at our roads, look at everywhere. And there's good reason to, like, want something back for that. As for how it's, like, dividing everyone, how it's, like, divisive, like, how it's racially divisive, I don't even know. All I can say is, I guess, like, if you see it that way, you probably, maybe you're not understanding it. It's not an ego. It doesn't feel like an ego thing. As a recent member of the reparations committee, it doesn't feel like an ego thing at all. It feels like, you know, we're looking out, like, this is kind of looking out for our fellows, whether they like it or not, I guess, if that makes sense. But I guess, like, you could just move on.
Yep, definitely. Miss Curry, go ahead.
I'm sorry?
Miss Curry.
Sure. Thank you so much for that. And I think Dylan, you know, made some good points. I would just say, you know, everyone is not in the same place. Everyone is not at the same point in terms of development. Everyone is not at the same, hasn't had the same opportunities. And so we recognize that some people may feel that this is not something that they want. And perhaps that is a good reason why we ought to be thinking about how does this affect the community as a whole rather than individuals, right? Should we be thinking about how do we uplift the community as a whole? And I think that was CARICOM's position through their 10-point plan, right? It wasn't, it didn't individualize persons and say you can get this in this group and that group and so forth. But it is an opportunity for all the boats in the harbor to rise, right? If you will, because we all get something out of this. And that's why I think it's important that we look at how we address issues around education, around health, around development more generally, yes? In our more recent discussions around this issue, we can make the direct link to hurricanes and climate change or climate disasters, right?
Yeah.
How do we deal with that? Because at the end of the day, you know, what we experience is linked also to the colonial period. It's linked also to what was done through industrialization and what was left here and what we still have to deal with every day, every year, during the hurricane season. So there are many different avenues and ways in which you can look at how the reparations could be used. I mean, in my view, still, right? The person is right in saying that many groups, but we're not speaking about all the groups in the world, and we're not here to resolve the problems of all the groups. And we're talking about this specific group and this specific period. We're talking about people who were inhumanely, and it's a crime against humanity, taken from their families, from their country. The trauma that must have left there is a reality. The trauma in the transatlantic slave itself, and the trauma of then being enslaved and being forced to work for something that you know that you will never, ever, ever own or even gain anything from. So all of that needs to be recognized. And I think when we say forget about that happened in the past, is not a really a good way of honoring what happened to our ancestors. I think we need to do that. Nobody's aiming to get rich off of this reparations thing, one person like me and you or whoever. Mm. It's how do we ensure that the entire Bahamas and Caribbean community, and there are other groups within the community. We can look at the First Nation place persons in the United States, and also natives, traditional natives of these regions. How do we ensure that they also get compensated? And we need to think about that, because their land was taken, they were killed, they were genocide. So all of this is something that we need to be thinking about, right? But I keep getting back to this one thing when people say to me, why do you want to bring up this old story? 2015 was yesterday. And the persons who enslaved us, their ancestors, their descendants, gained up until 2015. That was yesterday. And nobody said to them, why are you taking this money from this old establishment? Why do you do that? Why don't you forget it? Why don't you leave that in the public treasury or give it back to those people? No, those families were allowed to take it and keep it. And nobody said a word. But we should not speak about what happened to our ancestors and demand that those who enslaved us actually have a conversation with us and be willing. They're not even willing to apologize for slavery.
Dr. Campbell, I want you to answer the same question, but differently. I want you to concentrate on white Bahamians who have who have personalized this issue in terms of saying, why you want me pay? What did I do? Right? Are you asking for individual white Bahamians to pay back, individual people to pay back? Who are you asking to pay back? Because I hear affirmative action, and in terms of university, that's what Ms. Curry mentioned. But who are you asking to pay reparations? And what do you say to people who say that this call for reparations is divisive? It's separating us as Bahamians.
Okay.
I have a lot to say about that.
To be very clear, the CARICOM Reparations Committee, the Bahamas National Reparations Committee, is a member of the CARICOM Reparations Committee, right? And so with that said, CARICOM does not deal with individuals, right? Mm-hmm. It is a government organization that deals with governments. And so the CARICOM reparations call is not a call for, you here or you there or this particular person. It's not an individual call for reparations. Mm-hmm. Our reparations movement is also a developmental one that helps countries. So when the Bahamas gains reparations, it's not going to go to only the enslaved people who are descendants of enslaved. It goes to everyone in the Bahamas. So that's Black Bahamians, white Bahamians, Haitian Bahamians, expats. Anyone that lives in the country is going to benefit because it is a developmental reparations
plan. Wait, you saying that white Bahamians can get some of my reparations stuff if they get it?
I'm saying that that the reparations model is a model to develop the country, not to focus on individuals. Now, as Ms. Curry has said, there are movements and people that talk about about funds like the Jewish reparation descendants of the Holocaust still receive personal checks today. I would not fight against that. What I'm saying is that the way that the model is structured currently, it is a developmental model. And then to the point that reparations is about justice, but if I'm a community psychologist, and so for me, one of the elements that is also very important is the healing element, right? I don't know if you used to watch Yanla Fix My Life, right? But that is one of my favorite shows. And one of the things that she used to say on there all the time is, you cannot heal that which is not revealed. And we can't heal as a nation if we don't want to open up and be honest about what, you know, this history in our country is. On the reparations committee, we have members that are white Bahamians.
You all have white Bahamians on this reparation committee?
Hello.
Yes, we do.
And they asking for reparations too?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And do black Bahamians know that you all have white people on your reparations committee?
Well, they should. I mean, our former chair was Dr. Christopher Curry. You know, and he was a very effective in his role and a strong advocate for reparations and continues to be, because he understands that this is not a movement that is about persecuting individuals, things that happened in the past, right? Sure. This is a movement about justice and a movement about healing. And he has that desire for the country to move forward and sees that this is a way that we can do so.
Yeah.
Could I
go ahead, man?
Briefly tackle that question too. Yeah, about the whole like how this affect, like how this hurts white Bahamians thing is hilarious to me. Like that conversation. I wouldn't say I'm a white Bahamian, but anyone who knows me knows I'm a lightish, like mixed Bahamian.
You conky Joe.
I'm very like I would have to passionately say that like white people just in general kind of need to understand that the inequalities created from things like the slave trade does not benefit like everyone. It just does not. Like the inequalities, they need to be eroded, which I see the reparations committee as being like, or the call for reparations more broadly, I feel like is a way to erode the inequalities of it. To take it personally, like that, you know, it's going to cost, you know, white Bahamians opportunities, I think is completely missing the point entirely. And I don't think it should be seen as crazy that like white Bahamians would be on board with this committee either, because, you know, kind of like getting rid of the effects of that slave trade means that we can all collectively move on as a country. We're talking like better roads and stuff like that. We're talking better like education that will prepare us for like climate change and stuff like that. That benefits everyone unanimously. That doesn't feel like black exclusive. So I have to say that, you know, white Bahamians need to understand that collectively this is for the better. Obviously this is a movement that of course rich capitalists and whatnot are gonna
definitely,
you know, be wary of.
We are talking with a number of committee members of the Bahamas Reparation Committee, right, who is a part of the Caribbean Reparations Committee. They're commemorating the end of the slave trade that happened in 1807. We have Dr. Nyambi Campbell-Dean, we have Miss Curry, and we have Dylan. Dylan, I forget your last name, sorry.
Dylan Miles,
right? And we're talking about reparations and how it's developmental. I thought this could be money in my hand, and they said, no, it's for the development of the entire country. Clearly, no one can complain about that. People can't get vexed about that. If we all benefit, surely we all need to demand reparation from the UK and those institutions that cost us to deal with what we're dealing with now. But we'll take a short break now. This has been On the Clock with Aaron Green. This is C.A. Nuri speaking. We'll be right back.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Hey Bahamas, ready for some eye openers? Check out two brand new books by our legendary three-time PM, Hubert Ingraham. Get the tea on his amazing leadership and courage to buck the system. These books are for you, the game changers, movers and shakers, and anyone passionate about our nation's roots and future. Available now at Dungalik Studios, Logos Bookstore, the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and Chapter One Bookstore. Score your copies today. Celebrate our amazing legacy.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a 300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom?
And welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri, and this is Bob Marley, Robert Nesta Marley, who is asking, won't you help us to sing these songs of freedom? The Bahamas Reparation Committee is asking the entire Bahamas to join them to in helping to sing songs of freedom, right? Yeah. Songs that will develop the entire Bahamas. And they're asking the entire Bahamas to join them for their appeal to have reparations paid to the country that we all benefit, that we all able to benefit from the development of the country through institutions like education. Because apparently, going back to Dr. Naomi Campbell Dean, apparently there were universities and institutions who enslaved our ancestors. And because they enslave our ancestors, they need to pay. I have no problem with that. But there are some people saying, but listen to this, Dr. Dean. There are some people said, but we already got our reparations. We got our reparations through Crown land. Why can't you just build on your Crown land and be happy, Dr. Campbell Dean?
So I would... I would say that Crown land is a form of internal reparations that does need to be examined and looked at. But I would also invite that person to really take a look at the CARICOM 10-point reparations plan, where we have things on it, as Ms. Curry mentioned, first the full and formal apology, but also one that I think would be so beneficial for us. Debt cancellation, right? When we look at something like the amount of debt that we incurred from Hurricane Dorian alone, right? $6 billion of debt. And that this is a debt that we incurred basically because of climate change. And climate change, right, when we talk about history having its consequences, what are the consequences, what are the consequences of the transatlantic slave trade? One of the consequences of them was the Industrial Revolution, right? Mm-hmm. The free labor of the West built cities like Glasgow built a lot of these European cities that we love to go and marvel at their buildings, right? And as we see in the book, Capitalism and Slavery, built capitalism. And this capitalism, which molded this profit over people model, created the system in which we now see companies destroying the earth for profit. That has led to these massive hurricanes like Dorian that destroyed our communities. And so you see why we have to really follow the consequences of history. Like we think that it's so far in the past, but these ramifications are affecting us in the current day. And so this is one of the things that I think, you know, when we say, oh, crown land, yeah, great crown land, let's go for the crown land. But let's not also ignore the other impacts and the other ways in which reparations are owed.
We soon have a number of callers because the phone line is coming through, right? And I'm trying to do that on the second part of the show instead and get all of this information out so the listening audience could respond properly. Ms. Curry mentioned a formal apology, right? But I'm sure when King Charles was prince, oh, that was his son, one of them apologized and, man, slavery was a bad thing. I'm sure one of them royal people said, man, slavery was an injustice to the humanity or some sort. Is that your apology you're asking for? Or you want something addressing Africans' descendants directly?
I'm glad that you brought that up, CA, right? Because and this is why we are saying the call is for a full and formal apology.
Precisely.
What the crown did was an acknowledgement that, oh yeah, that was bad. Hey, that was real bad. Sorry about that, man. You know? But they never made a full and formal apology, which is a taking of recognition and onus of your part in the system. And this is why people say, well, what y'all need sorry for? We don't need sorry, right? The song say, too late to apologize, right? Too late to apologize. What we need is an acknowledgement of your role so that you can be held accountable.
Yes.
I want you to answer this because we soon transition to the next show. But at the same time, I want to continue the conversation. But I want you to answer this. I have had about four different texts, but I'm assuming these are black behemoths who are saying, why don't we tie black slave owners in Africa? Why y'all going after the European? We know we got to apologize for some certain set of people. They're saying that we are concentrating on Europeans when also there were Africans who participated in the slave trade. I texted one or two of them and said, name me the African names so I can text it to Dr. Dean so she go after them too. But they ain't have no names. But I want to know, what do you say to people like that who said, don't forget the Africans. We got to go after the Africans and ask for reparation for them from those poor countries too.
Oh my goodness.
So we would say that there's a difference between participating in the slave trade and owning the slave trade, right? And so we're not denying the role that Africans played in the slave trade, but we have to understand what exactly that role was. That role wasn't the owning of the slaves. That role wasn't the branding of the slaves. When Africans participated in the slave trade, they weren't branding people with the seal of England, with the seal of the Anglican Church, right? To own them because they weren't owners of that system. And also in their participation, they are engaging in a slave trade because there was slavery that existed on the continent of Africa, right? Exactly. We're not saying that this slavery is a new thing, but the slavery that they were engaged in was one that allowed the humanity of the other, of the slaves. You could be a slave and work your way out of slavery, right? And so their understanding of what this system is was probably completely different than the reality of what it was once the enslaved persons reached the New World. And also, you know, when we go to the continent, where are the benefits of the slave trade on the continent of Africa? If they were owners of it, if they participated in it in such a massive way, where can we look on the continent in countries like Ghana, in Senegal, and say, oh, here's where we see how you profited from slavery? You can't.
We are talking to Dr. Nyambi Campbell-Dean. We talked to Ms. Curry. Ms. Curry, what's your first name?
Gaynell Curry.
Ms. Gaynell Curry. And we're talking to Dylan Mins. And they are part of They're part of the Bahamas Reparation Committee. They're commemorating the 1807 end of that slave trade. We're talking about reparations. We have the phone calls lit up. I mean, the line, I'm all just red right up. Of course, we're coming to the end of this part of the show, On the Clock with Aaron Green. We're continuing this conversation on the other side, which will be Guardian Radio AM. And because I have one or two questions, because I have a text in, what about those black slave owners who were mixed race, right? Shouldn't we seek reparation from Antonius Roberts, who's mixed race, from John Smith, who's mixed race, and from Elizabeth Arbery, who's mixed race? Because these were, in this text of mine, they said they were black slave owners, even though they were considered a different color back then in the 1800s, right? They're saying, shouldn't we acknowledge that Africans, enslaved Africans in the Bahamas, even though these particular Africans were at a higher rank than the African itself? But we have that whole conversation on the other end. We have that whole conversation on the other end. This has been On the Clock with Aaron Green. We're going to continue this conversation on and after the commercial break in the news. I'm taking my guest for joining us. It's provocative. Like I said, all the lines are lit up. We're going to engage the callers right after this. And we'll see you in about 5 minutes.
Okay. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to...
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.